Let us pray. Holy God, we give thanks for your word, speaking through scripture. Like a treasure in clay jars, let us carry these words with us and live as vessels of your truth, proclaiming the good news of life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading for today is from Deuteronomy 5:1-21 and chapter 6, 4-9. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Lord, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the fire. At that time I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up to the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord God commanded you, so that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, neither shall you commit adultery, neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife, neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates."
Our New Testament reading this morning is from the Gospel as Mark recorded it, chapter 12. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he, meaning Jesus, answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, The first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." This is the word of God for the people of God. I think it's possible you may have heard this passage that Pam read this morning sometime before. Ten Commandments are a big deal. This actually isn't the first time the Ten Commandments are given to the Hebrew people. The first time was at Mount Horeb, right after they came out of Egypt. You remember the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, that whole story. This time is 40 years later, near the banks of the Jordan River, as they're preparing to cross into the Promised Land. The Ten Commandments do not start with, "Thou shalt not." Anybody who starts there is taking them out of context and likely missing the point. The Ten Commandments are not about, "Thou shalt not." Both times the commandments are given, they start with the words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." God's commandments start and end with the relationship between God and the people. They are about relationship. Moses tells the people that God didn't just make a covenant with their parents at Mount Horeb. God makes a covenant with each new generation, starting at Mount Horeb and going down the line to us today in 21st century America. God knows how people are, so God starts by reminding the people what God has done for them before God tells them what to do and how to live. The first commandment is, "You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." This commandment is not first in order to appease God's ego. It is not first in order to prop up an insecure deity or to avoid making God feel bad. No, this commandment is a gift to us. It comes first because God, having made us, understands how human beings work. God understands we have to have something to worship, something from which we get meaning in our lives, something for which we will make sacrifices, because we know that what we worship is more important. John Calvin said that unless we worship God, the human mind is a perpetual forge of idols. He goes on to explain that if we do not choose to worship the God who created heaven and earth and then came down here and died for us, then we inevitably envision something else, something less, and put it in our lives where God ought to be. That may work for us for a little while. Spending your life pursuing stuff will work for a while. It may give you an identity and a purpose. But you will find that you never have enough stuff to satisfy you. No matter how much you hoard, you will always feel poor and vulnerable. Spending your life pursuing riches and power will work for a while. It may give you an identity and a purpose, but you'll find that you can never have enough money or enough power. No matter how much power you accumulate, no matter how much bravado you sputter, you will always feel weak and afraid. Spending your life pursuing being seen as beautiful or smart will work for a while, but you'll find that you can never be beautiful enough or know enough or be wise enough. No matter how hard you work at it, you will eventually feel ugly and dumb. Unless you obey this commandment and get the meaning in your life from God, you end up running on a treadmill trying desperately to achieve that magic word, enough. And you'll never get there. That's slavery. You are a child of the Almighty God. Don't settle for second-rate or third-rate imitations. God wants us to be free of slavery. God wants us to live lives free of slavery to fear and slavery to want and slavery to cruel people. God wants us off the treadmill, living lives that are full and meaningful. God wants that so much that eventually Jesus came down here, was born, lived, died, and was raised from the dead to help make that happen. So what does a free life look like? Well, first of all, it's a life lived in community. You were not made to live a life all by yourself. Just as God lives in constant relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were created to live in relationship with God and with each other. That's why Moses didn't give each person a letter telling each one what God's rules were. These commandments were given to the Hebrew people as a people to guide their lives both as individuals and as a community. So what does a free community look like? The kind God had in mind. Well, first, nobody misuses God's name. I'm not primarily talking about the sounds that come out of your mouth when you hit your thumb with a hammer. I'm talking about what you teach people God says. We need to be careful that we never, with our words or our actions, preach a petty, exclusionary little demigod of one people or one class or one race. We need to be careful that we do not preach a God who hates everybody we hate. Because that's not preaching God. That's preaching ourselves and calling ourselves God. Preaching pettiness and exclusion in God's name is a fast way to destroy a godly community. Then, get off the treadmill. You might be able to make more money if you work 7 days a week, not six. But when God created the heavens and the earth, God took a Sabbath day. Human beings were designed to take a Sabbath, to rest. We are healthier in all ways, physical, mental, and spiritual, when we do that. God goes on to say that we have to give other people a Sabbath day too. We don't get to just take one for ourselves and expect other people to work harder to pick up the slack. A community that really took a Sabbath would be a better place to live for everyone. Honor your father and your mother. That doesn't necessarily mean obey every petty little dictate, but it does mean respecting experience and working to make sure that everyone has the dignity that someone created in the image of God deserves. Can you imagine a community where the older members of society were genuinely respected? I believe that isolation would not be such a big social problem for older people. I suspect they would find a way to make sure that old age pensions and Social Security were honored and were not political footballs to be held out and yanked away like Lucy with Charlie Brown. You shall not murder. A community where you have to constantly fear violence is not free. A community where little kids have to interrupt their schooling for active shooter drills is not free. A community where schools and churches and movie theaters have all been slaughterhouses is enslaved to fear. A community that honored this commandment would not live this way and let a few companies profit from the fear. Neither shall you commit adultery. Just as God has always been faithful to God's people. God expects us to be faithful in our relationships with each other. People who aren't worried about their partner violating their relationship are free to be themselves, free to really live. Neither shall you steal. This is about relationship too, not just about stuff. Someone who steals from you doesn't just take stuff. They hurt you just as surely as if they hit you. They cause all kinds of anxiety that lasts far longer than the loss of the stuff. People who don't have to worry about their stuff being stolen are free from concern. Neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. This is obviously about relationship. If a person says something false about their neighbor or repeats something that's not true, whether other people are saying it or not, they harm that neighbor. This is why gossip is bad. It helps no one, and it destroys reputations. A community where people didn't do that would be able to enjoy the best from every member of the community, because those people would be free to be the people whom God created them to be. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. This too sounds at first like it's about stuff, but it's really about relationship. This is about loving your neighbor and not wanting to take anything that's theirs. Not doing that makes you both free. You are free from that desire, that treadmill of more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. They are free from worry about losing whatever it is. A community that lived by these rules would be the freest community on earth. It would be the freest community that ever existed. Each person would truly be free to be the person whom God created them to be. This is what God wants for us, each and every one of us. That is how much God loves us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. God loves us so much that God has told us how to live our lives to be the freest, healthiest, happiest people on earth. It's not about thou shalt not. It's about relationship. It's about love. Thank God. Amen.